Sanje だけしでら、最初に先般なんて、念書が相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当に、相当
Good evening, everyone. Last weekend, we looked at the presentation on ultimate bodhicitta. We looked at, first of all, on the verse of the verse relating to the bodhisattva in meditative equipoise on emptiness. And then we looked at the two verses relating to the bodhisattva's activity in subsequent attainment. In particular, in the way that the bodhisattva relates to all the objects of attachment and objects of aversion. And this was that the bodhisattva would see when with such an encounter such an object of attachment or aversion, the bodhisattva would immediately remind themselves, due to the power of their meditation on emptiness, that the way that this object appears to them is not how it exists in reality. And the way that we then were advised to relate to these three verses last time is that whatever appears to us, whether in meditation or in our daily activities, we should remind ourselves that the way that it appears, which is as being truly existent, is not how it exists in reality. Rather, it lacks inherent existence, or it lacks true existence. So as just mentioned, last weekend we looked at the presentation on ultimate bodhicitta, and previous to this, over a period of time, we looked at the presentation on conventional bodhicitta. So we've now had we've looked at the presentation on both types of bodhicittas, conventional and ultimate bodhicitta. So just to remind ourselves what bodhicitta is, it's this mind that has the strong wish to lead all sentient beings from the state of their current state of suffering within cyclic existence, lead them to the state that is not only liberated from the sufferings of samsara, but lead them all the way to full and complete enlightenment. And secondly, the second part of the mind and body citta, is that in order to be able to do that, then I as a practitioner need to become the most skillful of all guides. I need to become a Buddha so that I have the ability to skillfully lead others. So these are the two aspirations of the or the two mental factors of aspiration that a bodhisattva has. So now this brings us to where the new section that we're starting today, which is how a bodhisattva practices to bring about the realization of this objective, to bring about the successful leading of all sentient beings to the state of enlightenment. And the way this is done is through the practice of the six perfections. So now we'll start with the next major outline, which is the six perfections, and we'll look at that and how to practice them ourselves.
Then a person took the eater, so to give Julia and then Yamzulena, this is such an issue.
So, this outline we're starting today has two main divisions. So, the outline is called the trainings of bodhicitta, and the first division is where we're starting, and that's the six perfections. After the six perfections comes the next part of this outline, and that is the explanation on the manner to rely on one's personal experience. So that will come later after the six perfections. It will be several verses within that section on the explanation on the manner to rely on one's personal experience. As we all know, the six perfections are the perfection of generosity, the perfection of ethical conduct, the perfection of patience, the perfection of joyous perseverance, the perfection of concentration, and the perfection of wisdom. And just to say from my side, if I remember correctly, in your text, the outlines are far-reaching generosity, etc. So far-reaching is just a less common translation of perfection. So I'll be using perfection, but I think in your text you have far-reaching. Of course, we're going to now start with the first of the six perfections, that of generosity.
The
Buddha himself, the historical Buddha himself, who taught these six perfections, taught them in this specific sequence. So this was done for a reason. The reason for first of all us worldly beings, whether human or other forms, we're all the same in wanting to experience only happiness, and so the causes of forms of happiness or suffering to avert is to ensure that we have sufficient nutritious food to eat, we are adequately clothed, we have somewhere safe to live, and we live in a suitable environment.
Then
As worldly beings who have an interest in the Dharma and an interest in coming to understand and the Dharma and transform our minds, we too have the same needs as all other beings. We need to ensure that these same basic needs are fulfilled, that of needing sufficient nutritious food, somewhere safe to live, adequate clothing and a suitable environment, etc. So we have these same needs as all other beings. And if these needs are not fulfilled, this serves as a major obstacle to our study and our training in the Buddha Dharma, or the development of the minds of the Buddha Dharma. So therefore, we too have to ensure that these basic needs are fulfilled. And we have some experience with this. We know the distraction that an empty stomach causes. If we're hungry, we don't think of anything else other than getting something to eat. And if this hunger actually comes from a base of desperation, where one isn't sure how one can fulfill one's needs, then this is of course a huge obstacle to being able to do something such as study the Dharma or meditate, etc. And furthermore, it can have longer term impacts in that it will make it much more difficult to guard one's ethical conduct. So if someone is concerned about how they can feed themselves or ensure that their family have sufficient food to eat, they may well steal, they may even kill animals and the like, so as to ensure that they have something to eat. So now we've seen how all of us, those ordinary beings who have an interest in the Dharma as well as those who don't, we all have these basic needs. And we have to fulfill these basic needs first, before we can enter into the study and contemplation on the Buddha Dharma. So how do we come about to accumulating the causes, to experience the result of having these basic conditions fulfilled? This comes from the accumulation, or the practice of generosity. So the mind that is opposite to the mind of miserliness, the practice of generosity. Through practicing generosity, one accumulates the causes that ripen into having sufficient resources or sufficient suitable conditions so as to be to fulfill our needs and thereby practice the Dharma. So therefore, this is presented as the very first practice. Just to say again in brief, the result of the practice of generosity is the attainment of resources or possessions or even conducive conditions. So this comes about through the practice of generosity. Without having accumulated these causes, the result will not come about. And therefore, to be able to practice the Dharma it will be a particularly large obstacle to the practice of the Dharma. Okay, then I read this, the verse on the perfection of generosity, the 25th practice of bodhisattvas. So as we see here in the first line, bodhisattvas have this wish to attain enlightenment. And as we heard earlier in the presentation, the mind of the mind of enlightenment, or bodhicitta, this has two components. And one of them is the wish to attain enlightenment for oneself, so as to be able to lead all sentient beings, let's put it this way, to attain enlightenment oneself, so as to lead all sentient beings to enlightenment themselves. So having this wish as a prerequisite of the mind of enlightenment, or this mind of bodhicitta, that bodhisattva engages in the practices of a bodhisattva, and the very first one is this practice, the practice of generosity. Bodhisattvas, of course, practice generosity through the kinds of things that we would easily come to mind, such as giving food and clothing and the like to others. But they also practice generosity even with their body, or giving their body to others for the benefit of others. And so this is specifically mentioned because we all tend to hold our body as very precious. If any harm comes to our body, we are concerned. So we all hold our body as very dear, or as very, very precious. We cherish our body. And a bodhisattva will even give this up for the sake of the welfare of others. So if a bodhisattva is going to give up something that is so very rare and precious, something as very precious and dear to them as their own body, then of course it goes without say that they will give material possessions and other worldly goods to others. The way the bodhisattvas practice generosity is with this strong wish to be of lasting and meaningful benefit to others. They will give whatever they have to others in order to benefit them in a meaningful way. So everything that is theirs to give, they will offer to others. And so it's not just the kind of worldly possessions that we'd normally think of, but they would give something as dear and precious to them as their own body they would give to others. And furthermore, they also, through these acts of generosity, they accumulate virtue or virtuous karma. And even this, they give to others. So they don't only give material goods to others, they don't only even give their own life and their own body to others, but whatever virtue and roots of virtue they have accumulated, even these, the sources of future happiness, they offer to other sentient beings to bring about the lasting welfare of others. And they do this without any expectation of anything in return, without any hope for a recognition or reward in any way. And this is how bodhisattvas practice generosity. So what we've been talking about up to here, this is included within the type of generosity that is the generosity of giving material goods, so outer possessions, giving one's body, etc. Moreover, the bodhisattva will give whatever qualities that they have on their own continuum, these they will give to others, or they will impart to others. And the way that they do that is through teaching the Dharma, their generosity of giving the Dharma. So whatever qualities they have on their continuum, through teaching the Dharma, they pass that to others, so that others can develop those same qualities on their own continuum. And in this way, bodhisattvas practice the generosity of giving the Dharma.
So the
practice of generosity is usually presented in three types. So we've heard about the first one, the material generosity. Then we heard about the third one, the generosity of giving the Dharma. And now the second one, the generosity of giving fearlessness. So the practice of fearlessness is the generosity of helping sentient beings who are experiencing tremendous fear. And this is usually then given to sentient beings who are suffering the fear of being killed, the fear of having their life extinguished. So, for example, an animal that's going to be killed for food, or an animal that's in or another human being who is in a perilous situation and they may die. So here the bodhisattva would do whatever they can so as to alleviate this tremendous suffering that this being is experiencing. And this is the generosity of giving fearlessness. And then a second way that this is practiced is also is the practice of generosity to beings who are so impoverished that they may die of hunger. And here a bodhisattva would give food to beings who are so impoverished that they are fearing for their lives, that they may starve to death. And a bodhisattva in such an instance, if they don't have external food to give or food to give to such a being, they would readily and without hesitation even give their own flesh, cut off some flesh from their arm and give that to a sentient being, to feed a sentient being, and thereby alleviate the suffering, this tremendous fear within the mind of the other sentient being. This is how bodhisattvas practice this perfection of generosity.
And then
Junor Jaladige, Chasan, Gijigi, Jibir, Hashiris, Dawatibuyo Maris, Chasan Jiruhuris, and the Jiruhuris, and the Jibir Hashima, the Tawatibuyo Maris, Tawatibu in the Gedina, the Yadana, Gedina Hadios of Chegrova, Chasan Tawatibu Mevasa, Timbu Mevasa, Eli Yadana, and Nichige, Michel Jimumata, and Yadivana, Gedigi Tolato, Makotolatona, Pandajan, Jimavaris, and Niki Mita with some town. Then we have some damasi, and chicke, tesso, and the dami, because this is just under now and nashing, Dimitri be teddy, now and nashing under ya, chicke, running when you took on the yomaris, Deva Maduba, Tashin Chibisana, near your matosma, the yomaris, some chimbits heady. That Jimotos like Udi, or what that Jimbi, Chipriagi, Prisa Udike, the nigger Udike in there, and chicke. So ランウェイの中でデンバドバ南国でナワナシ大神帝別の庭場にも庭場もデンバマドバで東山島で庭場です。だそうそう島田がそうそう言いながら大神帝別の庭場もデンバマドバで東山島で庭場です。天気準備て地元の人らが、ちょっとデンバマドバで見たことデンバマドビ様の大事天気準備団子です。<coughs>
Jag tänkte skulle höra inte vilket du klär kapp att ni tycker jag mig i havmusson men som den här kittunna gör jag inte tanta tänker mig till ditt kanske det okej so I'm just looking for something in my notes which doesn't seem to be appearing but anyway okay so we'll do it without notes so Now we've heard about how a bodhisattva practices a generosity, and we've heard about these three different ways that a bodhisattva practices generosity. How does the bodhisattva think at the time of engaging in this act of generosity? So here they think about the emptiness of the three spheres. So what this then refers to is, firstly, they think about the object that is being offered. So whatever the offering substance is that is being offered, they are aware that it lacks inherent existence, that it is impermanent, that it momentarily changes. It's not stable at all. So whatever substance they are offering, the bodhisattva is aware that this is impermanent, it's not stable, rather it changes, and doesn't just change over a period of time, but it changes from moment to moment. So there's nothing stable and lasting about this. And the second sphere is the person to whom the offering is being made. So here the bodhisattva, whilst making the offering, is aware of that this person to whom the offering is being made, they may appear, or they do appear, as being truly existent. But their way, when the bodhisattva would investigate this appearance of true existence, this true existence cannot be found. And therefore, the way that the person to whom the offering is being made, the way that they appear as being truly existent, is not how they abide in reality, but rather they are empty of inherent existence or empty of true existence. And the third of the three spheres is in relation to themselves. So the giver, so that was the person being given to, and now the giver. So the giver is also empty of true existence, despite appearing as being truly existent. So in this way, the bodhisattva will be meditating on selflessness of persons and selflessness of phenomena, or how all phenomena lack true existence. So that is the way a bodhisattva thinks whilst engaging in the practice of generosity. They reflect on the emptiness of the three spheres, the first being the offering substance, the second being the person to whom the offering is made, and the third is the person doing the offering.
I didn't know Kondo Sanje Govan, Janju Sembana, Sanje Govan, Tobe, Dandalaya, Jimbe Yamne, Denigi, Nanguevaina, Tanga to Sanje Govan Toku, Sedan Kondo Toku Inda, that Janju Sembana, Jimbe Yamne, Namana, Sanje Govan Toku, Meva, the Kondi King or Qua, Sedan Dene in Tanga, Takonzuki, Sanje Govan Toba, and Toby Dundi Jimbe Yamne, Nanguina, to Sanje Govan Toku, and Nanga to Jimbe Yamne, Nanguina, Jiko Qua.
The reason bodhisattvas engage in this practice of generosity is so as to attain enlightenment, so that they and all sentient beings can attain the fully enlightened state of a Buddha. So we, sitting here, also having this wish to attain a full enlightenment, to be completely liberated from all forms of suffering and attain the ultimate state of lasting happiness, we too have this wish, and therefore we should practice in the same way that bodhisattvas do. Because bodhisattvas wouldn't practice in this way if it didn't bring about this desired result, that fulfill their heartfelt wish. But knowing that it does bring about that result, they engage in this practice. So us, we share that same aspiration, and therefore should practice in the same way that they do.
Se dile beje ta jyor de shi ro du ne phen je yo mar la je yo mar es me ba za ta so su gi ta so su gi jin be nyam nen je jin ba de ta je ni ge ta ge ina ni su nam ji so su gi sem gyu li pha ni de ba sha sha go su nam sa go mar es su nam sa yo de so su shi ro du ni su nam ni che ro yo sta che yo es.
We ourselves, and we should engage in this practice of generosity like bodhisattvas do, and like them we should also engage in this practice as much as we can, because this mind of miserliness, from this mind of miserliness no benefit comes at all, because whatever we've held on to and grasped at as our own and something that we're not going to give away, when death comes, it serves no purpose. It cannot help us. Whatever we've been holding at and storing as our own, this cannot help us at the time of death, and we cannot take it with us to our next lives. And for example, the beautiful home that we may have, this home certainly serves a purpose and is required in this life, but it only serves a purpose in this one life. Whereas if we engage in the practice of generosity, then all these karmic imprints, these virtuous karmic seeds that we accumulate, these we take with us to our future lives, and they will be of benefit in our future lives. So the practice of generosity leads to the accumulation of virtuous imprints from generosity. These we can take with us to our future lives, and when they ripen in our future lives, they will ripen in the way that we heard at the beginning of this talk. They will ripen in terms of suitable conditions or comfortable conditions, and that is what we will be requiring in our future lives too. So this is why the Buddha started by teaching this practice of generosity. And for us, if we practice generosity, only benefit will come to us. Whereas if we continue to be dominated by the mind of miserliness, well, from this there is no benefit at all.
Mm. 동화 진비 파로 친스 제단 진비 냠는 제제 나 진비 냠는 제 되네 진비 냠는 제 소소 다 진 탈친 바이나 아니 사지 거고 진비 파로 드신 바세야 사지 거고
근데 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 엄마 쪽 바네래
주발에서 엄마 주발에서 주발에서 엄마 주발에서
되네 그런 공조 데이터 그런 성능한 건데
진배다 진배까지 동제 진비 냠는 제제 탈친 어디 아니 진비 파로 드신 바세야 돼 사지 거고 톡톡으로 해서 동화 진비 파로 신세
Then there's a quotation from engaging in the middle way, and that this quotation is giving is the perfection of generosity. So here, whatever giving one does with this intention, this leads to the attainment of enlightenment, and therefore is included within the perfection of generosity.
Mm. 내다 되네 셈니도 제가다 그래서 뭐 전에 도바 탐지에서 당아도 유 잘라 잘라지게 봐 이제 심지어 현재 지바당 건조리아 추워부이 아니 마이 교도리아 지바당 내니 교소소 선음 사비기 되니 교선음이 제부디야 심지어 디유아 차사 루스네 차사 심지어 동국을 동국을 해서 내니 동지 봐 동에 세 봐다 샤나세데 참어자에 매봐 개디 나다 동기 대비 동을 셈바디 봐 지금 누가 개발진 차와의 차로도 근데 진비 바로도 신바세 쓰게 되었지.
거기는 네 공정도 하는 순간.
도바 담제 제제의 기호권을 동습니다. 다디 직지 던다로. 던다 가서는 도바라도 규제라 가네 이나 현실이야. 제게 삼로다. 야권조를 초부 부여하다. 마조를 진벗다에 진벗단 고레스. 지 진벗나에게 쓰는지 대우시 용고로 와. 이 쓰는미 제보디야 다시 현심제 탐제를 펴야지
디야샤노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노노 from the Bodhisattva's way of life. Through the generous attitude of every being, all possession subsequently results. This perfection of generosity is primarily a mental attitude. So the meaning here is that a bodhisattva, when they practice generosity, all possessions that they have, they readily give to others to help others, and they will help others in any and every situation that they possibly can. And moreover, knowing that these acts of generosity lead to the accumulation of virtue, with this powerful motivation of wanting to do everything they can to be of benefit to all sentient beings, the bodhisattva not only gives the resources and their body and the like, but even these accumulated karmic seeds, these seeds of future happiness, these they readily offer to other sentient beings, offer so that other sentient beings attain the ripening results, attain happiness through the practices of generosity of the bodhisattva. And furthermore, as the bodhisattva progresses in this practice, then the mind of miserliness, this contrary mind to the practice, to the mind of generosity, then this diminishes and diminishes, and eventually it gets eliminated due to the power of the mind of generosity. And when this mind of generosity is particularly powerful, then it's called the practice of the perfection of generosity.
Then 我啊，给我咋子？给我给这给我啥级别？给我这样，现在他们这里偏不少，从我这边那几百来，几百来。当然，这工作里啊，蛮这费用都，那旅游、农具、给这车上、三级的，普遍是比这里普遍呢，这样几百钱，我全部会说了。也还会有这里缺吧，马脚的几百了，等到了，普遍的，大家就说，这几百年的结果，那里普遍的，人家给他几百，所以说给农具的团队几百，那你给这团队几百会啊？那这个，人家给。
Tonight we've looked at this, the first perfection, that's of generosity. So the practice of generosity is something that we can all engage in. Illustrations or examples would be, for example, giving to the needy, giving to the poor, helping them in any way. Making offerings to the three jewels, making donations to charities and the like, and offering one's help, one's assistance to other people, offering one's time to other people. So in many ways one can practice these kinds of material generosity. Furthermore, when one can engage in practices such as doing the mandala offering. So here one is offering all the roots of virtue in the world to the Buddhas and the like. So this is also a practice of generosity one can engage in. Furthermore, when one comes to dedicate, one should dedicate all the virtue that has been created to others, to the attainment of enlightenment of others, to the welfare and the benefit of others. And this offering of the roots of virtue to others, offering the roots of future happiness that we ourselves have accumulated, offering it to the lasting or the ultimate happiness of others, this too is a practice of generosity. So in this way, we can engage in the generosity of offering material goods, of offering our roots of virtue. And well, offering our body is maybe a little bit more difficult for beings like us, and maybe other than giving blood, there's probably not much we can do in this way. But there are so many other ways that we can and should practice generosity.
だ自分だやぶふやんで、だ自分だやぶるわ。ねえねえだこ、じきにゅうろしね、だじきでしょしねろこちべね、んじごれ。いなだ、とわんどこもれ。このとらでにげぷよでな、あねち、どうせんじゃ、たんじさんよこわとびちるいんせんじゃ、たんじでぎよらちるいんさんじ。そそりゃ、んじごやこよえ、さんみんさんまさんばち。ねめね、せんじゃたんじでぎとやだ。 三级国宝特别就是因是不共荣，将军是不共年，哪些都是呢？三大部位呢？今天穷了，俺这没得花的，俺这是不借的也打没过来，是多年过三大节，今天批的呢？俺给啥？俺那个算那么钱不啥土过的？俺那给些，所以说呀，不要给他搞个买把几年啊，所以说给他没现在给今天不要的，今天来接来接收一两钱啊，所以说给他三六拿了呀。 当俺的那穷人给的这一的那些落魄基金，得了普遍三百三六拿的呀的，给的那多三百，当这个普遍这一落魄基金三百三六的伢那样的，讲白那点金吧吃过的，当三百金吧的话，金不金不问的金不给这，免了金吧了，伢们吃过的，俺都尽量的，俺的那一套呢，俺要吃羊肉吃那个，得听给老百姓的这个多，就当俺这，得了套了呀。
Therefore, the practice of generosity is something that not only should we do, but it's something that we can do in any number of different ways. And it's something that we should do as much of as we realistically can. But even if, for whatever reason, one cannot do practice generosity too much, then even if one just does a little bit, so as to counter this negative mind of the selfish mind of miserliness, then one should do that. So even small acts of generosity are good to engage in. However, the most important thing here is actually the motivation. We haven't spoken about it a lot, but it is the most important thing in the act of generosity. And so the motivation that we should cultivate in whatever acts of generosity that we engage in is we should have this motivation of wanting all sentient beings who only want to experience happiness and don't want to experience any suffering, no matter how slight, lead them all to full and complete enlightenment. And furthermore, or secondly, we should guard our mind from having any kind of hope for some kind of reciprocal action, whether it's for a karmic ripening result or whether it's for gratitude or appreciation from others. We should guard our mind from any such attitude. Then thirdly, we should be aware of emptiness or impermanence when making offerings. So we have the emptiness of the three spheres, that of the offering substance, the emptiness of the person to whom the offering is made, and the emptiness of the offerer. So if we are able to think in these three ways, so the awareness of emptiness, guarding our mind against hoping for anything, any expectation, anything in return, as well as this motivation of bodhicitta, then the amount of virtue that will be created is huge, is absolutely tremendous. And so therefore, this whatever acts of generosity we engage in, we should try and engage in with this mental attitude, because this is really what will power the acts that we do. And then lastly, even where we all have limitations in terms of what we can do towards others, whether it's material generosity or the other types of generosity, but what we can still do despite those limitations is rejoice in the practices of others, rejoice in the acts of generosity, rejoice in the accumulation of virtue that is done by others. Because in sincerely rejoicing in the virtuous endeavors of others, we too create a tremendous amount of virtue that we can and should dedicate to the lasting welfare of others. So that's what we've looked at tonight, this first of the six perfections. So we'll finish here then for tonight, and tomorrow we'll start with the perfection of ethical conduct, the second of the six. And if there are questions tonight, if you can hold on to them, and we'll take them tomorrow. So thank you.
Yo, yeah, no.